there right now. But the Apostle Paul, who had a revelation from the Holy Spirit when he was on his road to Damascus, and he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He was going down a road, and he was sincere about the road that he was going down, but it was the wrong road. But how many of you know that God can catch you even when you're on the wrong road and put you on the right road? And so when God knocked him off his high horse, that's the way I say it, he looked up towards heaven and he said, "Lord, is that you?" And the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Yeah, it's me." But then he said, "Saul," he said, "isn't it hard to kick against the pricks?" And he said, "It sure is, Lord. The way I've been going, it's not very fun." And the Lord said, "Well, I know that you're thinking right now, why are you coming to me, God?" But the Lord spoke to him and he said, "You are going down that road, Saul, but," he says, "I've got a plan for your life, to call you out of darkness into my marvelous light, to call you from the power of Satan unto God, that you might receive forgiveness of all your sins and receive the call of God that I have on your life." He was so moved by that because he knew the kind of person that he was that he went onto the backside of the desert and he spent some time with God. When he got done with his time with him and God alone, that man received more revelation about Jesus than the very disciples that walked with Jesus. He knew God like very few people ever have known God. And so when we read most of the New Testament, most of it was given to the Apostle Paul by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. God taught him by his Holy Spirit. And so when he talked about communion and the Lord showed him what communion was all about, here's just a little side trip here. But when you're reading your Bible, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to get involved in your Bible study and in reading of the Bible. Because you need to understand that when all of these things that happen that you're reading about in the Bible, you need to realize that the Holy Spirit was right there watching everything that happened. And so when you're reading about Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, when you're reading about Elijah or Elisha, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your heart, to show you what was going on in the Bible. And I'll tell you what, he'll do that. He'll show you things about the Scriptures that you never even saw before because the Holy Spirit was there. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit was there on the day that Paul was on the road to Damascus and he began to get these revelations from God. You know, I'll tell you, Paul was an amazing man. He took advantage of the Holy Spirit, and he allowed the Holy Spirit to be his teacher and his helper. But in 1 Corinthians 11, when he talked about communion, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I was also given, that the Lord on the same day that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had taken bread, he took and ate. And then he took the cup, the communion element of the blood." And then when he talks about receiving of communion, we're not going to go into that in detail right now, but he made a statement in receiving communion. He says, "As often as you do this," as often as you receive these communion elements, he said, "do it in remembrance of me." In other words, bring back those things to your remembrance. Now, I don't know how sharp all of you are that are out there that I'm talking to. I'm sure you're all pretty sharp. But I'm also pretty sure of one thing. Your memory could probably use a little upgrade. No, some of you are looking at me kind of funny. Do you always remember where your keys are? We used to have a lot of trouble with that until we put a hook right inside the door. So when we come in, the first thing I do when I walk in the door, I get the keys out of my pocket and I put them right there on this little key hook there. Why? Because there's been a lot of times, Marcus, I'm ready to walk out the door. And then I'd say, "Well, you know what? I'm ready to go." And I walk outside and I realize I don't have the keys. Well, how do I remember where they're at? Well, I got to have a place that I go to help me remember where they're at. It makes it easy. And so when the Lord is talking about receiving communion, he's wanting you to realize that unless you bring yourself to remembrance from time to time what the Lord did for you. Come on now. Unless you go back from time to time and remember what the Lord did for you, you'll forget it. Amen. So it's good to go back when you're receiving communion. It's good to go back to the Scriptures and look at what Jesus did. And so real quickly, we don't have a whole lot of time here, I've said this for a lot of years, and all of you have heard me that have known me for many years. I've always said this, and you'll like this because of where you're sitting. I'm not like, Eutychus. Remember when Paul was preaching one time, and this guy was up on the third loft? And I mean, Paul, the Bible says Paul was long preaching. I mean, that guy was just getting after it. He preached for so long that this fella in the third loft, he fell off like he was dead. He fell asleep on Paul. He fell asleep. And Paul said, I'm going to fix your wagon. He went over there and raised the guy from the dead and said, now get up and listen to the word. And the Bible says Paul preached all night long. Isn't that amazing? You know, and of course, don't run off on me now and get religious on me, but the guy's name was Eutychus. Well, you'd have probably tried to cuss too if he was going to preach all night to you. Anyway, that was worth the trip here. But let's go back in our Bibles to Isaiah 53 real quick. This is just going into remembrance of the Lord real quickly. Isaiah chapter 53. It says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is talking about Jesus, our Savior. This is bringing ourselves into remembrance of him. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, in other words, no question about it, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes, 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 we are healed. You say, well, Brother Dean, why did you emphasize that so much? Because a lot of people in the body of Christ worldwide, they know about Jesus our Savior, but very few people know about Jesus our healer. But it says right here, and you guys are reading out of the same Bible, and with his stripes we are, that's present tense, we are healed. Now, this was spoken of Jesus before he ever came on the earth by Isaiah the prophet. He prophesied about what Jesus would do. Now let's fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is always the good news. Amen. And matter of fact, when Paul talked about the gospel that he preached, he said, when I came to you, I didn't come with enticing words of men, but he says, I came in power and I came in demonstration that your faith won't rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'll tell you what, when you believe in that name of Jesus and in the power of God, there's power in that name. There's power in that blood. There's power in the anointing that's in that word. Power to heal, power to save, power to deliver, power to set free, power to strengthen, power to build you up, power to make you strong, power to bring you through, power to stand you up. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and watch this, and wherein you stand. When the gospel's preached like it should, you'll begin to stand up. Amen. Why? Because it puts faith in your heart, it puts hope in your heart, and it makes you start to stand up. When the Word of God is preached like it should be, it'll make you stand up on the inside, and you'll begin to stand up on the outside. It says, by which also you are saved. And that word saved there in the Greek is the word sozo. It means completely saved, completely healed, completely delivered, completely blessed, completely prosperous. I mean, it means you got a Holy Ghost overhaul. It means you're strong. It means you're full of faith. It means you're full of power. It means you're blessed. It means you're strong. Amen. It means you're confident. Oh, some of you are looking at me like, are you really serious? Yes, I'm serious about what I'm preaching to you. Which also you are saved. How? Listen, this is how you get saved. Watch this now. By whom you're saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. If you keep in memory what I've preached unto you. If you keep in memory what I've preached unto you. What he's saying is you can't just start hearing it, can you, Curtis? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, he says, you'll be my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will... Come on, help me now. He says, if you continue in my word, not start, if you continue in my word, he says, you'll be my disciple indeed. And he said, you'll know the truth. Glory to God. And the truth, whom the Son sets free. Are you free today? If you're not, you need to go back and remember what Jesus did for you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. How that Christ died for our sins. How that Christ died for our sins. I don't care what sin you committed, Christ died for all of it. He paid for all of it. Glory to God. How that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. What happened the third day? The third day, resurrection power got on the inside of him, and he rose up all the way from hell, all the way to heaven. Now, if this don't make you happy, I don't know what will. When the Spirit of God came in you and you got born again, you got resurrection life, you got resurrection power, you got resurrection healing, you got resurrection strength, you got resurrection joy, you got resurrection peace, you got resurrection ability, you got resurrection deliverance, you got resurrection salvation, you got resurrection everything when resurrection power came on the inside of you, the life of God. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. You have resurrection power on the inside of you today. You're not a wallflower. You got resurrection power today. Glory to God. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And now he rose up. He said, you need to stand up. It says Jesus rose up. Now let's go real quickly, and I'm going to end with this text right here before we receive the communion elements. In Matthew chapter 27, I told you I'd be short-winded. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, blessed are the short-winded. They'll be invited back. Glory to God. See, that's on the tape, so I got to get it on there. Anyway. Glory to, I hear Betsy out there. She's with me. Always is. Glory to God. Matthew 27. See, we're family. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of my friends out there. Hallelujah. But you know what? We got a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. Matthew 27. Aren't you glad for that? You hang around with me long enough, I'll let you down. But my Jesus, he'll never let you down. What he says, he'll do. All the promises of God, right, Larry? They're all yes and amen. Glory to God, forget not all his benefits. He daily loads us down with benefits. But watch this now. It says in verse 33, and when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, it says they gave him vinegar. They didn't give him a malt. Amen. They didn't give him Pepsi Cola. They didn't give him spring water. They gave him vinegar. Dummies. Anyway. To drink mingled with gall. See, they had the gall to give him the wrong stuff. And this was Jesus. Anyway. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Well, you wouldn't either. Now watch in verse 35. And they crucified him. And they parted his garments and they cast lots that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And for a lot of years, I read this story, and I read this text, and I couldn't quite figure out exactly what they were saying by that. And the Lord reminded me, he said, go back and look at that word crucified, because I'd never really looked at it, never really studied it out. That's why it's good to listen to the Holy Ghost. That's why it's good to have a Strong's Concordance, good Bible software where you can look that stuff up. I mean, Google makes it easy. So I looked up the word crucified, and I found out to my amazement that that word crucified comes from the Greek word staro, which comes from the word stoa, which means to stand up. So what it was saying there was when Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, oh, this should help you. When he went to the cross at Calvary, you know what he was doing? He wasn't just going there to have his back beat. He wasn't just going there to be bleed, you know, to be bloody. He wasn't just going there to have that spear stuck into his side and the nails in his wrists and in his feet. No, it was more than that. He was going to that cross to stand up for you and me. And when the devil thought he had Jesus on the cross, the Bible says just like a lamb goes to the slaughter, that Jesus didn't open up his mouth. He kept quiet. You know why he kept quiet? So later on you could open up your mouth and call Jesus your Savior and call him your deliverer, call him your healer. Amen. He could have called for all those legions of angels to bail him out, but you were worth so much that he said, I can't do that. So when he was up there on the cross and the devil thought he had Jesus right where he wanted him, Jesus might not have been smiling on the outside, but he was smiling on the inside. And he said, you know what? I got the devil right where I want him. Because he thinks that this is a shaming situation right here, and he thinks this is the end of me. But Jesus was saying, no. He said, the cross is going to be the most positive thing that's ever going to happen in this life. And he says, when they find out what I did, that I went down into that grave and rose up, they're going to realize that at that time, I was standing up for the drunkard. I was standing up for the derelict. I was standing up for the alcoholic, for the prostitute. I was standing up for the outcast. I was standing up for the hater, for the bigot. I was standing up for every one of them. I was standing against the devil. I was standing against sickness and disease and poverty and lack. I was standing up against all that stuff because I knew that I was going to be raised up the third day and I was going to pay for their salvation. I was going to pay for their healing. I was going to pay for their prosperity. I was going to pay for their deliverance. I was going to pay for the whole enchilada. Aren't you glad when you go to the buffet, you want the appetizer? Glory be to God. You want the meal and then you want the dessert. You want all you can get. And that's what Jesus did, man, at the cross. He said, this is going to be positive. The devil thinks he's got me, but he's going to get hair-lipped in a few minutes here. Amen. And what he did is he turned a negative into the most positive thing that ever happened in life. Because he didn't stay on the cross and he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again for you and me. Glory to God to give us resurrection life. And resurrection power, and resurrection strength, and resurrection ability, and resurrection everything. He did it for you and me. Amen. He did all that to cover your sin. He did all that to cover your shame. He did all that to cover your fear, to cover your rejection. He did all that to cover everything bad that you ever did. He bought and paid for it. And from 2,000 years ago until now, he's never held one sin against you. And he never will. Because when he received that blood and he went up to the throne of God and presented that blood at the throne of mercy, the Lord looked at that blood and he said, your sin is paid in full. Amen. Your healing is paid in full. your deliverance is paid in full. And from that day until now, he's never held anything against you. Isn't that good? So when you come to the communion table in just a minute here, just remember that everything you need was paid for 2,000 years ago, and all you got to do is receive it by faith. Amen? So, you know, in receiving the communion elements, he said this, and I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get your communion element out. It's going to take you a minute to figure that out. We haven't done this before. But I want to kind of demonstrate on the top of your little communion cup, there's a little plastic little pull tab that's on the very, very top. You got to pull that one real carefully because that's where the wafer is. Okay? It's on the very top. You got to be real careful with it. And if you pull that plastic off, you'll get your wafer out. You don't want to pull on the big tab because that'll open up the whole thing. We haven't done this before, but you know what? We're family. We don't care. You know, we're all at the table, right? Jesus the healer is at the table. Amen. And he knows we make mistakes, so he's all right with that. He's patient. He's loving and kind. Did you get your wafer out? All right. Now, if Jay can come up and play. In the receiving of communion, once again, the Apostle Paul said this. He said that we need to examine our own heart. And if we'll do that, he says, we're going to be okay. But he says, for this cause or for this reason, he said, many are weak, and even many are sickly, and even many sleep among you, because they don't discern the Lord's body. It's really sad, I believe, to the Father in heaven to look down on the body of Christ and to see that there's people sitting in some churches around the world and they don't talk about Jesus being the healer. And that's a shame because we already read it in the Scriptures. It's verified all through the Scriptures. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all. Healing all. He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. And so when we receive the communion elements this morning, first of all, you can receive forgiveness of sins. And if you've not been born again, you can call on the name of the Lord and whatever your hang-ups have been, whatever your problems have been, how bad you may have felt about yourself, the Lord will put that all under the blood. And he'll wash your heart clean from all sin, all guilt and all condemnation. But not only that, and I know that a lot of you have prayed and said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. But today, when you receive the communion elements, when we take that body, that symbol from the wafer, the body that was broken for us, you just need to begin to thank God that Jesus is your healer, that his body was broken for you. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Dean? Listen, we teach in healing school every Sunday during the third hour from 11:30 to 12:30. And we have testimony after testimony after testimony about how people came to hear and be healed. And Pastor said it the past Wednesday night. He said in Mark 6 and 5, it says that he came into his own hometown and he was among his own people. But the Bible says he could do there no mighty work except he laid his hand on a few sick folk. And he marveled because of their unbelief. But it says he went about teaching. And he went about preaching, and he went about healing. And in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, Jesus said this to all his believers. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these, because I'm going to be with the Father. And that's why when I stand up here before you to talk about Jesus and what he did, I'm telling you, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and even many sleep. They die prematurely because they don't discern the Lord's body. Now, that's part of it. The other part of it is this. The Bible says there's only one God and Father who's above all. Listen to me now. He's in us all. Listen to me now. And he's through us all. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of all who's above all and in all and through all. And when we come to the communion table, we've got to come and realize that that one sitting on our right and sitting on our left, we are one with them. Amen. Glory to God because of the blood of Jesus. We are all blood brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. And if we treat our neighbor right and we love our neighbor like we love ourselves, and we pray for them and we want them to be blessed and we want them to be healthy and we want them to be strong and we want them to be prosperous and we want God's best for them, God will honor that. Because we have to come to the Lord with a pure heart. Hallelujah. See, communion is a table where you come where it's all health food. Everybody can eat it and everybody benefits 100%. And it'll cure what ails you inside and out. It's a cure-all. Amen. You can't overdose on vitamin W-O-G, the Word of God. I challenge you to go ahead and try it. You can't O-O-D on vitamin W-O-G, the Word of God. You can take it in large doses. And the only thing that'll happen is you'll get stronger for it. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and let's examine our hearts. Just for a moment. Let's go ahead and lift up this wafer, symbolic of his body that was broken for us, and go ahead and just break it symbolically. Let's take and eat this body that was broken for you and I. Lord, we just lift up our hands and we thank you for healing. Lord, you said that you would heal the brokenhearted and you would bind up their wounds. You said, Lord, that by your stripes that we are healed. And Lord, we know that you're a miracle-working God that changes not. And Lord, what we need to do, as your word tells us, to go back to your scriptures that promise us that you watch over your word to perform it. You said that heaven and earth would pass away, but your word will never pass away. Because what you've said, Father, you'll do. And so, Lord, I thank you that there's no name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. And so, Lord, I just ask that you, Jesus, as our healer, that you'll walk through this place just like you walked across the water, just like you went to the seas of Galilee, just like you walked through Samaria and all the places that you went. Lord, walk through this sanctuary right now, Jesus, and touch people in here. Touch them with your love. Touch them with your mercy and your compassion. Touch them, Lord, with your forgiveness. Touch them, Lord, with your restoration. Touch them, Lord, with your mercy. Touch them, Lord, with your healing power. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We are the healed of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Now let's go ahead and lift up the cup. Father, we are about to partake of this cup, which is symbolic of the blood that was shed for all of our sins for time and eternity. And Lord, we know that nothing can wash away our sins except for your blood. Lord, you said in 1 John 1:9 that if we would confess our sins, Lord, that you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You said, Father, that you would cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, so that our sins and iniquities you'll remember no more. Father, you said as far as the east is from the west, that you'll remove our transgressions from us. And so, Lord, as we've asked you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings and judged our hearts, Lord, we receive your forgiveness by faith. And then also, Lord, by faith, we forgive ourselves. because you said to walk by faith and not by sight, to walk by what your word says, not how we feel. So, Lord, as we partake of this cup, symbolic of your blood, we receive forgiveness and cleansing, and we're made whole by the blood of Jesus. Let's go ahead and take it right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you right now in Jesus' name that we receive, we receive the touch of heaven, making us whole in our spirit, in our soul, healing our bodies, restoring, delivering, and setting free. Glory to God. And Lord, I thank you that when we go out of this place, we'll remember, Lord, that you told us to keep in remembrance the receiving of these communion elements as often as we do it, Lord, to do it in remembrance of you. So we're just delighted, Lord, that we could come to this place and know that Jesus, the healer, the Savior, the deliverer, he's in the house. He's at the table with us. And so we're grateful, Lord, that we came to your table and we're going to leave here stronger than we've been. And we just thank you for it, and we give you praise and glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Well, praise.